All right, listeners, this is the Grey Goose, and you're listening to 91.5 WGLZ. We have some very special guests with us here on the line today. We have Joshua and John from the Moreau Quartet joining us today. Guys, how are you?
Doing great.
Doing great. Thank you for having us here.
Well, I'm glad you were able to manage to call in today. We are going to go. We're going
to
go right into this. You guys have a new album.
We do, yes. We just released in February the Opus 131 Quartet by Ludwig von Beethoven.
Wonderful. Now, the process for like choosing which pieces you're going to do, how did you decide on doing this one?
You know, we're in the process of recording the complete cycle of string quartets of Beethoven, which is 16 string quartets, to release in 2020, which is Beethoven's 250th anniversary, and also our quartet, our 25th season performing together. And so we're slowly working our way through all of the Beethoven quartets. We've released about 85% of them, have some recorded and unreleased, and we're going into the studio again shortly to basically finish off that cycle so it can be ready to release to the public in 2020.
Awesome. Now, when you go into the studio to record these, how long does it typically take to record just one?
You know, since the pieces are generally about, some of them are about half an hour long, the longest ones are maybe 50 minutes, we find that we can record about 10, 15 minutes max in a day of recording. So we'll usually go in and spend 8 hours in the studio each day, and from that we'll get about 10 minutes worth of music. Because we want to play things and check the levels, we want to make sure the sound is right, we want to make sure that the quality through the mics is correct, but we also want to explore each bar of the music in such a way that we feel like, yes, we can put this down for it to last forever on our CD, and we're comfortable with what we're trying to say.
Awesome. Now, what initially drew you to this genre of music for your career?
That's a good question. You know, we're both the products of the 80s, and musical tastes, at least for me, were more skewed towards rock and roll. I listened to a lot of Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC and others. But I also had a little bit of classical music in my life in that my parents were both amateur musicians. My dad played the violin, my mother the piano, and they just wanted the cultural experience for me, I think, as a young player. And I quickly kind of was drawn to the environment of playing music with other people. I enjoyed getting together and playing. I liked the fact that I actually had a skill that was unlike, you know, a lot of my other skills, which were more athletically based. And I grew to love the music as I got older. I never, ever thought I would become a professional cellist, to be totally frank, but as I, you know, went through my late high school years into college, I grew to love, you know, the music of Beethoven and Schubert and Haydn more and more. And I found myself being drawn to practicing more frequently and for longer periods of time. And so it just was a sort of a natural synthesis into me becoming the artist that I am now.
Wonderful. Now, I can understand exactly where you're coming from on that, because I'm not much of a musician, but I know a lot about music being in the industry that I'm in. Classical is one of those things that it starts to grow on you the older you get. When you're younger, it's like, oh, sounds interesting, then it kind of bores you. Then when you understand the whole musical process and you listen to it, you understand it a lot more and you appreciate it more.
I don't think that people realize how surrounded by classical music they really are, with movie soundtracks, TV backings, things just, you know, wandering around in your community, how ubiquitous it is. And you know, it's why the art is still alive, because it is everywhere. And, you know, it does. I watched my brother, who is a couple years older than me, sort of grow into loving classical music. And I see it with lots of people. And it's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. We're from West Virginia, and about 10 minutes from where our college is at, there is the Wheeling Symphony. It's one of the older symphonies that's been around in the United States for a while. And they're trying to make it more popular for the young people to come in, because they have the classics, all the Liszt's and the Beethoven's and all that, but they're trying to, I don't want to say jazz it up, but they're just trying to attract the younger demographic. What do you think the music industry has to do to start attracting younger people to the classical genre?
Well, you know, a lot of it, to sort of follow up on what my colleague Josh was saying, is just making sure that people of a certain age get exposed to it and they realize that it's around and they know what it is. You know, for me personally, I discovered classical music in a home where there wasn't any classical music by going to youth symphony concerts, just like you were talking about. I grew up in Boston, and they had a youth symphony series. And I had a teacher that said, hey, I think you should go. Why don't you come along, hop on the bus, you'll go hear a symphony orchestra. And just the experience of being around it, and then also letting myself be affected by the music, really letting the music create emotions in me that I had never had before or felt before or recognized before, made it, you know, in some ways less strange, less threatening, or less foreign, or less elitist, if that's a word I can use.
Mm-hmm.
And I started discovering more of myself in the music, which is why I'm a professional musician now. But I think anybody listening can look for their own experiences and their own emotions in classical music. It's part of the idea of that music is that it kind of embraces everyone's personal experience and helps us all feel and connect to each other.
I think it's fascinating, actually. You're on a university campus, and we teach at the University of Texas here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some work with the students a number of years ago, and we wanted to find out how much classical music was actually being consumed on campus. And what we found was that students listen to a lot of classical music. They don't quite know where to get it or what, you know, how to find it or what the best, you know, best kinds of classical music are, but a lot of students were listening to it when they would study, or they would put it on in the background while they were hanging out with their friends drinking a beer. And it was quite astonishing how many of the students down here in Austin are consuming it on a regular basis. Now it's getting them, you know, just giving them enough information so that they're consuming great music. And, you know, in the digital age, it's so easy to basically get anything you want at the touch of a button. And it's good to see that younger students, especially in the you know, the collegiate level, are really listening to classical music.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we've been trying to work on here at our station, because primarily we've always been a top 40 format,
mm-hmm.
but in the last 6 months to a year, we've started to expand more. We have a playlist set up specifically for unsigned artists.
Mm-hmm.
We have one for straight-up rock, one for pop, one for, we call it a grab bag. You might get jazz, followed by Latin, followed by New Age, followed by classical. We're trying to expand the horizon so that there's just not the 1% that we always hear on the radio. We want to do the other 99%.
Right. Yeah, it's a very, very, very good concept, because you don't know what you like until you hear it.
That's right. Absolutely. You never know it until you try it.
Yeah.
Right.
On that note, if you don't mind me inserting something here.
Go for it.
For those who have an interest in listening to classical music and string quartets in particular, we are afforded the opportunity to stream all of our music for free on our website, which is MiroQuartet.com, and we do it because we, you know, we have a generous donor who essentially funds most of our recordings. So we'd like to give the music back. And we try to put out a product that's as good as any out there, and we want people to consume it. So right now you can download the newest album, which we've been speaking about, on our website, but at any point you can go to the site and just stream music. There's actually a music player that you can leave open while you browse other sites or, you know, Google something. And so that music can always be there if you want it.
Wonderful. That is definitely a great opportunity for people of all ages to have access to.
That was the idea, and we're glad that we're able to do it.
Wonderful. Now, this was your most recent album. How many albums have you had put out in total?
Geez, I don't know. I'd have to count them. I think there's probably 10.
Yeah, 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they go back quite a ways, because we recorded our first album in 1998. That kind of ages us a little bit. But the group's been around for 23 years now. And so we started recording quite early on in our career. We had some great opportunities. And we'll continue to do so. We're going to release all of the Beethoven String Quartets in 2020. And we'll probably continue to record beyond that as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Wonderful. We'll definitely be looking forward to the next release from you guys. If it makes you feel any better, I was born in 1998, so.
we, as a university, you know, a college professor, we get a lot of that. When I started getting applicants that were born in 2000, I started to panic a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yep, we're to that time gap now.
Yep.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up here today, would you like to tell our listeners anything else?
No, I mean, just, you know, be open to all sorts of music. I happen to love pretty much everything. I didn't know I loved outlaw country music until I moved to Texas, for example. And it's everywhere. I hear it all the time now, and I happen to love it. But I didn't know I loved it until I actually was exposed to it in a big way. So classical music is one of those things, and you can consume it in little bits, or, you know, pieces like this. Opus 131 is 50 minutes. If you want to sit down and really focus on some great classical writing, Beethoven, you can't go wrong with Beethoven. So you have your options there.
Absolutely. John, Joshua, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Listeners, we are now going to get back to the music. Here is the Moreau Quartet on 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty.